prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
This is where faith and reason meet. We have a problem today, because you cannot prove that God exists.
You can't?
You cannot do it.
You can too.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
We say in the intro,
do it all the time.
We say in the intro, I can prove God exists, but that's not what I mean. It is what I mean. It's not what I mean.
Okay, what? All right, Jeff. What do you mean?
We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about why you can't prove God exists.
You can't do that.
We also are going to talk about a Bible contradiction. Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to honor your father and mother or not? Because Jesus says not to.
He did?
But the Bible says to.
Wow.
So, okay. Which one is it?
I think you got your references wrong.
Hey, our website is truthrevolution.tv. Glad you're here today. We got some dilemmas we got to solve because this is where faith and reason we meet. We believe that science is true. We believe that Bible is true. We believe that God is real. We believe that your logic is real.
Right. And a lot of people think, hey, man, you can't have both. But we're here to say, you can have your cake and eat it too.
That's exactly right. You can have both. And we're proud to have both.
That's right.
Faith and reason. So we're glad that you're joining us today. The question is, can you prove God exists or not? We also got some listener questions. Some guy says we contradicted ourselves.
What?
On our show about aliens.
I'm sure that probably happens all the time.
Actually. So if you like aliens and you want to know more about them, we're going to answer that on the show today. But enough about that for now. We'll get to it later.
So why are we getting to everything later?
Because this is the introduction.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
The introduction's an amazing part of the show where you tell people what's coming up. You bait them.
Oh, okay. I see what
you're
doing.
Then they're forced to listen for the entire half hour.
You're getting smart. That's what it is. All right.
Something like that.
So we're going to try... Oh, we're going to say God can't be proven to exist.
Right. Well, you know, I've talked with people before who've said, you know, I want you to prove to me that God exists. I want you to be able to prove it. And a lot of times I indulge that and say, okay, look, I can prove God exists. But the real deal is you can't... It depends what you mean by the word prove. If by prove you mean what most people would mean, which is, hey, is there enough evidence to suggest that this is reality?
Right.
Then you can prove God exists. But if by prove you mean lock up an airtight 100% without any doubt whatsoever case, then you cannot prove God exists. And that's okay, because you can't actually do that with anything.
Okay. Explain.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say a lot of things like God doesn't exist, can't prove God exists. I don't want anyone to take this show, this MP3, and like take me out of context today.
It's going to be all over YouTube, man.
I've been paranoid about that.
Right.
So I feel like I should say things like, you cannot prove God exists unless... But here's the deal. Timothy Keller wrote a good book called The Reasons for God, or The Reason for God. And here's what he said. How can we believe in Christianity if we don't even know whether God exists? Though there cannot be irrefutable proof for the evidence for the existence of God, many people have found strong clues for his reality, divine fingerprints in many places. Now, I kind of like this. When we talk about proofs for God, we're talking about clues for his existence.
Right. Building a cumulative case.
That's exactly right.
So to speak.
I've never seen the Statue of Liberty in real life.
Oh, you haven't.
It cannot be proven to me 100% beyond reasonable doubt. Well, maybe beyond reasonable doubt. But it can't be not proven to me 100% absolutely without any doubt that it's real. It can't. You can't prove that to me because I have not seen it. I've not been there with my own eyes.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Until you witness it, you cannot know for 100% sure.
Right. Okay. What I have to do is I have to take all the evidence available to me and believe that the Statue of Liberty actually exists.
There's a lot of strong evidence for the existence of the Statue of Liberty.
There are witnesses that say it exists. There are photos in historical books. There are newspaper reporters that have written about it. I've learned about it in school. There is a lot of evidence. So I believe, because the evidence shows that there are a lot of clues that show the Statue of Liberty exists, even though it can't be proven 100%.
Well, I landed in Newark one time, and we flew by the Statue of Liberty.
Did you really?
Unless maybe it was just a model.
Well, see, David Copperfield might have just put up like an illusion.
Right, that's true.
And you don't even know.
I just don't know.
He was on the plane.
I didn't touch it.
And he was like, check this out.
So, I didn't touch it, so it might not have existed, actually.
Right.
So. I see what you're saying.
Someone could have pasted a picture of it on your window.
Right.
Yeah. And you wondered why you saw it in Newark and Pennsylvania and Florida.
It was following me. So, you know, what we're saying basically is, with one argument, you cannot necessarily prove the existence of God. It'd be just like...
Well, I wouldn't say with one argument you can't.
Let me explain.
Go ahead.
It'd be like one person walking by the Statue of Liberty and then walking into the middle of the United States, and he's the only one that's ever seen it, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, there's a Statue of Liberty over there.
Right. That might be sufficient evidence, right. And it might be an absolute proof,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably not sufficient to convince me.
Right.
And you see, that's the difference. The argument might be really good. It might be proof, but it's not necessarily enough to convince me.
So I guess we could call this show Building the Case for God.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In the book, Timothy Keller continues, he says, I once met regularly with a brilliant young scientist who was haunted by a general sense that God existed. Much of the writing in this chapter and the next, I discovered during my conversations with him, he looked at one argument for God after another. And though many of them had a great deal of merit, he found that every one of them was rationally avoidable at some point.
Hmm.
Okay, so we're saying the arguments for God are rationally avoidable, right. at some point. Like, someone comes and tells me the Statue of Liberty is real. Well, at some point, I could say, well, I just don't trust you. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I can avoid that.
Right.
You know, and the arguments for God's existence. At some point, you can avoid them rationally somehow. He continues, this troubled him greatly. I can't believe unless I find at least one absolutely airtight proof for God, he said to me. Now, this is cool. I pointed out to him that he was assuming, quote, strong rationalism, unquote. And he got some relief when together we realized that he had no airtight proof for that. Then we began to go back and review the lines of reasoning that he had been calling proofs and began to look at them instead as clues. When we went about it with that perspective, he began to see that cumulatively the clues of God had a lot of force to them.
Right. They do build up. And that's one of the things we talk about week in and week out.
Yeah. You know? Now, this is so cool. Like, when people come and they say, look, I reject this proof for God. Okay, I think this one's pretty good, but it's not like absolute proof. Mm-hmm. Okay, this other one, it's okay, but it's not absolute proof. Well, again, what they're doing is they're assuming, you know, what Keller calls here strong rationalism.
Right.
But you have to be able to prove that strong rationalism exists. Now, I'm not sure exactly what his definition of strong rationalism is, but basically, I think what he's getting at is you have to be able to prove that your rationale is actually accurate 100% and that you aren't unduly influenced in any way.
Mm-hmm.
That you can perceive reality as it really is 100%. Now, you can't prove that because... Is this getting complicated
it
now?
It is. It's getting kind of complicated.
Okay, let's just look at it this way. You look outside and you see something.
Mm-hmm.
Can you prove 100% that you're seeing reality?
Not really. Because you have to wonder. I mean, your senses perceive it,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes the eyes play tricks. I mean, we see it
sure.
all the time.
Sure. And yeah. so you can't prove 100% beyond an airtight case that you're seeing reality. You could be crazy and imagining
right.
all
okay.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You could be in a psych ward right now, and this radio show is a figment of your imagination.
Could be.
By the way, your imagination is awesome.
It is.
Oh, anyway, so
sound like the asylum was getting restless,
right? So this could be all a figment of your imagination, right. But you look at the evidence and you don't assume that's the case. You believe you are seeing things rationally. So the funny part is, you're looking at the existence for the arguments for God, and you're saying these have to be 100% airtight, but you don't even know that your own perception of the world is 100% airtight.
I see what you're saying. You're saying, you know, that even because my perception is not totally airtight, how can I know for sure that the arguments for God can even, I mean,
well,
those might not even exist.
Well, no, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that you cannot reject the arguments of God mm-hmm. for God because they aren't 100% airtight.
Right.
Just like you can't reject reality because it's not 100% airtight.
Let's put this in simple terms and tell me if this
all
is
right,
this,
let's if do this it. Let's right do it real simple like.
Okay. One timber doesn't build a house.
Okay.
Okay. One piece of wood. But you can see where this house comes from in each piece of wood. Okay.
Okay.
But putting it together, you see where each one goes together. And it's like, well, you take that one piece of wood, you take it across the street, show it to your neighbor. Hey, this is a house.
Right.
But no, it's not a house. But it is when you put it in its context.
Right.
And
well,
it's actually held up by the rest of the house.
You're talking about the cumulative case for God's existence. Right. I'm talking about something else.
You're talking about weird stuff.
You're talking about, and we're going to talk about the cumulative case. You're talking about, hey, there was the Big Bang. That's kind of evidence that God exists. There are all these natural elements that are tuned perfectly for human life. There's the beauty in the world. There's prophecies. There's Jesus' resurrection. Right. There's the existence of good and evil. Yeah. All these things together are like bricks in the building that show that God exists.
Right.
Okay, now that's good. But what I'm saying is someone looks at these and says, well, look, I see a little chip in this brick. Well, I see a chip in this brick. So I'm not going to accept that brick because there's a chip in it. Well, you can't simply reject the brick because there's a little chip in it because it's not 100% airtight.
Right.
Because even your ability to understand reality isn't airtight.
Here we go again.
And so this is a good point. We got to get it.
It is.
And so even if you want to say, hey, I reject these arguments for God because they aren't 100% airtight, then you have to reject all of your rational understandings of the world.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. If you reject the arguments for God because they aren't 100% airtight, then you have to reject every other scientific or even logical argument
right.
because they aren't 100% airtight.
Yeah, everything begins to unravel at that point.
Right. Things aren't 100% airtight in our world. They're clues. You have to look for the clues. What's the best way to understand the clues? Now we get into the cumulative case that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do that. But first, Dave, why don't we go ahead and answer a Bible contradiction?
Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
All right, we were talking about this earlier. Honor your mother or father or not.
Your mama.
And Jesus says not to. You know, the Old Testament and... All right. Check this out. Infidels.org is where I got this from. So,
great
honor
website.
Honor your mother and father or not. Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5:16, Matthew 15:4, Matthew 19:19, Mark 7:10, Mark 10:19, and Luke 8:20 all say, honor your mother and father.
Okay,
it's
honor.
One of the Ten Commandments. It's
honor
reinforced
them.
By Jesus.
Honor them. Honor your father and mother.
Matthew 10:35 through 37, Luke 12:51 through 53, Luke 14:26, Jesus says that he has come to divide families. That
uh-oh.
One man's foes will be those of his own household.
Oh, snap.
That you must hate your father, mother, wife, children, brothers. Sisters, even your old life to be a disciple. And to put the final nail in the coffin. Matthew 23:9 says, call no man on earth your father, because your father in heaven is the only father you have.
Okay.
What's up, man?
So should you honor your father, mother, or not?
Well, Jesus says not to.
Don't.
Okay.
Gosh. Okay, look, in our cracked acronym, the A stands for author's intent.
Okay.
So we always have to ask, what is Jesus really getting at here?
Okay.
We have to ask, what is the writer of these Ten Commandments really getting at here?
Okay.
That's a huge question we have to ask, because if you just take anybody out of context, like take me out of context on this radio show, and you're going to say that I said God doesn't exist.
Right.
If you take anybody out of context, no, you got to, what was his intent? What is he trying to communicate? Well, in the Ten Commandments and those other verses you read about honoring your father and mother, they're talking about the appropriate relationship between parents and children.
Right.
The appropriate relationship is one where children have respect and honor and obedience for their parents. And they have to live that way. Now, the author's intent when it comes to what Jesus said about dividing families. Well, Jesus wasn't saying really genuinely hate people. He was saying that you have to put God so far above, and you have to put Jesus so far above your love for your family that it would seem like hate in contrast.
A perspective thing.
That, yes, if it comes down to loving God or obeying your parents, there's no question what you should do. And even though God gives a commandment to obey, he never intended to say, you obey your parents even over me. When you put these together, when you look at the intent of these, it's really easy to see what was actually intended. All right, get over to truthrevolution.tv and check us out online. We got shows, we got Truth Shots, and come out to Revolution Church, 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. every Sunday morning.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
A long time ago, there were a bunch of religious leaders who found a woman committing adultery.
They dragged her, throwing her in front of Jesus, then asked if they should stone her to death.
His answer? You without sin, cast the first stone. They left.
Then Jesus looked at her and said, I don't condemn you, so go, leave your life of sin.
Jesus didn't say it was okay to commit adultery, but he also pointed out how bad it was to harshly judge people.
Many of those religious leaders forgot the purpose of the rules isn't to look at other people and say, ha, look how bad you are.
Right. The main purpose of the law is to remind us that we sin too, and that we should love people.
When we use the rules to judge harshly, we're not loving at all, and therefore we're ignoring the main reason God gave us standards.
We need to be merciful and forgiving, just like God is willing to forgive us if we ask Him.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about some crazy stuff today.
This is where faith and reason meet.
It is.
And today we've talked about, can you prove God exists or not? And we kind of said no. You can't prove God exists beyond 100% absolute reasonable doubt. But you can prove God exists if you believe in such a thing as a cumulative case. Like, these are all these arguments for God's existence, the prophecies from Jesus, His resurrection, are all bricks in a house that show the reality of God.
Well, anybody who watches court TV will know. When you're trying to prove something beyond a shadow of a doubt, you got to build a case.
Wait.
Right?
Wait.
What?
You watch court TV?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, I was just...
I don't watch court TV, but I know how... I know how
you're out of this show!
I know how cases are built. You know,
I've watched Judge Wapner.
I've watched Perry Mason. So, I mean...
You're right.
Of course I'm right.
Not about the show being good, if you said that. No, okay. I was kidding. Those court shows are ridiculously addictive.
They can be. That's why I don't watch them.
You watch and you're like, what's Judge Judy going to do? Uh-huh. Is she going to rule that the guy ate the Oreos or not?
And does he owe 98 cents to the other guy for stealing his Oreos?
All right. Yeah, guilty. Uh-huh. All right. So here's what's interesting. our culture, we're going back to this Timothy Keller book in, mm-hmm. about the reason for God. And he says in this chapter, he has a subtitle called The Clue Killer.
Okay.
And he says, in our culture, there's a very influential school of thought that claims to have the answers to all of these so-called clues. This is the school of evolutionary biology that claims everything about us can be explained as a function of natural selection. A book that seeks to explain all clues about God in this way is Breaking the Spell, Religion as a Natural Phenomenon by David Dennett. Dennett claims that if we have religious feelings, it's only because those traits once helped people survive their environment in greater numbers and therefore pass the genetic code on to us. You got that?
Yeah, I do. Basically, we're all just rehashing old stuff from back in our evolution,
right,
to believe in God.
Right, exactly.
Stuff that makes us feel good.
Good. And so we're saying, look, there's a cumulative argument. Mm-hmm. Any one argument you may not like, but you put all these together and like, gosh, that's really kind of a compelling case. There are really good clues, right, that there's something there.
When you put that not so good argument up alongside the rest of the evidence, it kind of becomes really good.
Right. Yeah. You take an argument for God's existence and you go, well, it's not airtight, but I can see what they're doing there. And you put that up another argument where you say, well, it's not airtight, but I see what they're doing there. And you do this 10 times.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. You got 10 really strong clues. But what they're saying, these evolutionists, is, hey, evolutionary biology makes us see clues where there aren't clues. For example, Dawkins has explained that when we grew in our evolutionary biology, early on, some humans may have seen things in a bush that weren't really there. And these people were more attuned to what was going around them. And so they grew and lived when other humans died. And so we're more attuned to see things that aren't really there just because of evolution.
Right.
And so what he's saying, is, well, we see things that aren't really there. And that's just, and it's actually an evolutionary, or it's beneficial to us, evolutionary speaking, that was really poorly phrased.
So what he's saying is it's natural selection at work.
Yes.
Basically,
it's natural
those
selection.
Who see things that maybe aren't there are more highly attuned and pay attention to other things even better, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So
evolutionary theorists all agree that our capacity to believe in God is hardwired into our physiology.
I think there's a reason for that.
Because it was directly or indirectly associated with traits that helped our ancestors adapt to their environment.
I kind of agree with Keller. That, but only because God put it there.
Well, okay. In the last part of Dawkins' The God Delusion, his book, he admits that since we are the product of natural selection, we can't completely trust our own senses. Now, Keller goes on and he says, I don't believe Dawkins or other evolutionary theorists realize the full implications of this crucial insight. Okay, what's the insight? He says, well, you can't trust your rationale about God because that's only an evolutionary byproduct. You can't trust your senses because you as a human only believe things that are beneficial to your survival.
Right.
Okay, and Dawkins says, wait a minute. You don't understand what you just said. Evolution can only be trusted to give us cognitive faculties that help us to live on, not to provide ones that give us an accurate and true picture of the world around us.
Wow.
Did you catch that?
So basically, our perception doesn't evolve. It's basically the other things that evolve, but our perception about the things around us
doesn't evolve. Listen to him this way. He says, evolutionists say that if God makes sense to us, it's not because he's really there. It's only because that belief helped us survive. And so we're hardwired for it. However, if we can't trust our belief-forming faculties to tell us the truth about God, why should we trust them to tell us the truth about anything, including evolutionary science?
Right.
Our cognitive faculties only tell us what we need to survive, not what is true. So why trust them about anything at all?
It almost sounds like an Eastern religion that he's talking about there, like, well, Nirvana.
Oh, the evolutionist.
Yeah.
You see, because what they're saying is, look, because of evolution, you don't believe what's real. You believe what's helpful to your existence. Mm-hmm. And so, well, evolutionary theorists, they've got to do one of two things. They either have to go, wait a minute, no. You can trust what your mind suggests, which would mean God might be real. Mm-hmm. Or they have to say, no, you can't trust what your mind says. And in other words, I can't trust
science.
Yeah, I can't trust evolution either.
So they painted themselves in a corner.
Right. It's mm-hmm. just, and it's just, I mean, we don't actually think that, but it just goes to show kind of how dumb that argument
right,
is.
Right.
That
it's a circular argument.
That God isn't real. You can't mm-hmm. trust your senses to believe the arguments for God. That doesn't make sense.
It's a non-Bible contradiction.
Right. You can't say that God is an evolutionary byproduct without ultimately ruling out evolution.
Right. So. Well, if you say, yeah, God is just a byproduct, well, then so might everything else be.
Right. Because if you can't trust your rationale
for
God's existence, you can't trust your rationale in those other areas. Now, okay, we're going to do some listener questions here. We got a really, really good one, an interesting one today.
I got a question.
All right. Listener question today.
Yes.
This is where we contradicted ourselves. The listener asks, in the alien implication, you say if God wants to put life on Mars, he can.
Yeah,
if
sure.
If he wants to put life on one of these exoplanets, he can. Yet in your creation episode, you seem opposed to admitting that if he wanted to create life in 6 literal days, he can. Don't think either of those are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, listeners, help me out here. If you understand what this guy had a problem with, I would need you to tweet me at Jeff Pipo right now or email us questions@truthrevolution.tv. Hit us up on Facebook, Revolution Church. If you have a better question than this,
right.
Hit us up. If you got a challenge, any thoughts about today's show? It was too confusing.
Right. Well, you know, we don't have a problem with God putting life anywhere else. We don't have a problem with
God. We don't have a problem with God creating in 6 literal days.
Right, he can do whatever he wants to do. Period.
God could create in 6 microseconds. I don't care.
Even faster.
Our question isn't, can God do it? Our question is, what did God do?
Did God do it?
Did God do it that way? Mm-hmm. We think God did it in billions of years,
right?
Not 6 literal days.
Right.
And we think, is there life on Mars? Well. If God wanted to put life on Mars, he could put life on Mars. If God wanted to put life on one of the exoplanets, he could. If God wanted to put life on a whatever, it doesn't. Yeah.
And here's the whole thing, man. You know, it's like we are trying to mesh what we believe about God with what we see in science.
Yeah.
You know? And so it could be that we're totally way off base.
Yeah.
And one of these days, God will tell us, hey, man, you're way off base, and we'll be all right. All right. And then move on from there.
That's right.
It's not that big of a deal, you know?
So God can do whatever he wants, and that's the answer for the listener question of today. I mean, yeesh.
I got a question.
All right. No, for real, hit us up. Let us know what your thoughts are on the show. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter, Jeff Pipo. Dave's on Twitter, DavusX.
DavusX.
So what does the X stand for?
It's just...
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
So anyway, hey, Truth Revolution is here because of you, because of our donors, the people who believe in this. Thank you so much for putting this show on.
Yeah.
And thank you to Revolution Church, because this is where we come from, man. Hey, you are welcome to be out at Revolution Church.
Hey, I'll guarantee you, if you like the radio show, you're going to love Revolution Church.
So. We love questions there. Mm-hmm. We love just putting it out there. You know what? Wear whatever you want to Revolution Church. You got nasty jeans, old raggedy t-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Me too, and I'm the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to dress up to come here. You got tattoos all over. We don't care. You got piercings. We don't care. We don't care what you look like.
And you know what? We really don't care if you do dress up. Come on in.
I suppose I could wear a tie.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know.
That's okay, too.
Whatever they want to wear.
I won't
comfortable.
I won't judge them if they wear a tie.
What is that, like reverse judgment?
I'm not wearing a tie.
Right.
I'll tell you that much. But I mean, just come down who you are. You know, at Revolution Church, we start at 11:15 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You can also watch us live online. So get over to truthrevolution.tv, www.truthrevolution.tv, and you can find the link to watch us live online.
There you go.
Or you can just come on down to Revolution Church. We're on South Street in Salina, Kansas.
We're giving you no excuses to be able to miss it.
Yeah. I mean, you already heard the show. Mm-hmm. You know you love this stuff, so just come on,
yeah,
man.
We love it too, man.
One more step.
We'd love to have you. It's the more, the merrier.
That's right. We're designed specifically for people who've never been to church or haven't been to church for a long time.
Right.
Or people who don't like to church. So come on down.
All right, check it out. Hey, next week.
Whoa, oh, man. Yes, next week, our ghost reel.
Yeah, we're getting really close to the Halloween season.
Our ghost reel, man. Mm-hmm. It's really scary stuff. So you got to be here. Listen on to Truth Revolution. And also, we didn't even get to this, but there's this article out now, coming out on Saturday.
Yeah.
That says Jesus didn't actually
It was a
exist.
Hoax.
We invented Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about
Romans
that soon, too.
Romans invented Jesus. Wow.
Don't worry, people. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But yeah, truthrevolution.tv, go online, check us out. We're going to answer any objections you guys have. Email us, tweet us, contact us, stop in and see us, whatever you want. Get over to Revolution Church and truthrevolution.tv.
Love you.